How's your faith today? How's your love today? They go together in the life of a Christian, as Pastor Al Pittman explains.
Faith, love, and hope are important. Of course, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. You've got to have them. You can't have one without the other. Well, I've got faith and I've got hope, but I don't love that person. Well, I've got love, but I just don't think God loves me. They all work in concert. Again, reflective of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You can't have one without the other. And you can't have faith, hope, and love separate. You have them all together because they make up the foundation by which our walk becomes a worthy walk.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Any race car driver will tell you that it's extremely important to have a high visual horizon. Get your eyes off the hood ornament and look ahead. It's also important for us spiritually to keep our eyes focused on what's ahead of us in the next life. Pastor Al Pittman will explain here today on The Dwelling Place as he begins a study through the book of Colossians. God has a marvelous plan to save mankind, and he chooses to use vessels like you and me to accomplish this. What a privilege that is. Pastor Al will encourage us to be used of God and help spread the gospel. Our reference point is Colossians 1 and verses 1 through 14, and that's where we join Al here now.
Today we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 14 in Colossians. Let us read, I don't want to do that. Let's just take it a section at a time as we go through the text. But one verse I want us to focus on, and then we will go back and look closer at the text here. But that is, if you'll drop down with me to verse 10. I just want to highlight that first and foremost, because this is really sort of the core, the center of the message. Paul says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God has given us a mandate, and Paul here is encouraging the church to have a walk. You can substitute the word walk with life that is worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. A little background on the book of Colossians, and it's probably on the screen already, but I've entitled this message simply that, just walking worthy. But a little background on the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church in Colossae is a reminder to every believer to live a life worthy of Christ's sacrifice. Colossae was a city located in the southwestern part of Asia Minor in modern-day Turkey. It was a prominent city during the Greek period, but then during Paul's day, it was a city in decline. It was a mixture, a multiracial city. It had a mixture of people consisting of natives from that area, Greeks, Romans, and transplanted Jews from Israel. So the church in Colossae, you could say, that Paul is writing to, kind of looked a lot like Calvary Worship Center. The letter here is another one of Paul's, what they call the prison epistles. He's writing this from prison. They believe it's dated around AD 61 or 62. And the reason Paul is writing this letter is to refute the claims, some false teachings concerning Christ within the church. One of them we're familiar with that's been going around in a lot of the other churches, and that is the teaching of the Judaizers, people who were saying that you must obey and adhere to all the laws of Moses, to all the Jewish laws, of religious laws, in order to really be saved. You can believe in Christ, but you need to keep all the laws as well, and that's the only way you can really be saved. And Paul addresses that, as we've mentioned before in the past, in Galatians chapter 3 and 4, as he talks about the fact that it is by grace that we're saved, and not by the works of mankind. But the other thing that was a problem within the church, another heresy that was going around, was kind of promoted by the Gentiles within the church, and that is that Christ is a higher being, but Christ is not God. And they were promoting really mysticism or Gnosticism, which is the pursuit of mystical knowledge, elevating the teaching of angels and other deities with that of Christ, and acquiring this knowledge somehow makes you closer to God. And we call it Gnosticism. And so this mystical knowledge, promoting this mystical knowledge against the knowledge of Christ. And in doing so, this was kind of a satanic scheme. Both of these, by design, were minimizing the significance of Christ in the church. I mean, if I have to add something to my salvation, I have to work for my salvation, then why did I need Jesus to die for me? If Christ is no different than the other mystic ideas and the other so-called deities and other gods and spirits, if Jesus is kind of one of many, then what's the significance? What significance is there in trusting in Christ? And these type of attitudes, really at the core, this is why I believe Paul gives us these words in verse 10, at the core is that it promotes an irreverent attitude toward Jesus. If Jesus is just one of the many, then why do I need to walk in a way worthy of him? Who is he, and what difference is there in him from all the other religions of the world? And so we open our text, and we see here that Paul is encouraging them to walk in a way that is worthy of our Lord, to conduct ourselves not out of our own worthiness so much as it is to walk in a way that reflects the worthiness of Christ. My walk is to be a reflection of his worth, not my own. When we were in Washington, D.C. this summer on vacation, my family and I went to the Arlington National Cemetery and witnessed the changing of the guard. And it was a phenomenal experience. And you could tell that something important was going on as these young men, these soldiers, were guarding the tomb and how they walked with precision and with purpose. There was a reverence about it. I found the other day a code of conduct in this march you witnessed before the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers, and also I found a creed by which these guards who walk before the tomb, a creed by which they administer their duties. The code of conduct, there are four basic points in it, and number one, it says that the sentinel, or the guard in front of the tomb, marches 21 steps across a black mat, past the final resting places of the unknown soldiers of World War I, World War II, the Korean War, and also the crypt of the unknown soldier from the Vietnam War, which is remains have been recently, not too long ago, identified. Secondly, with a crisp turn, the sentinel turns 90 degrees to face east for 21 seconds exactly. The sentinel then turns a sharp 90 degrees again to face north for 21 seconds. A crisp shoulder arms movement places the rifle on the shoulder nearest the visitors to signify that the sentinel stands between the tomb and any threat. And lastly, after a moment, the sentinel paces another 21 steps north towards, or in turns, and repeats the process again and again and again. The practice cadence is timed so that the sentinel paces at a rate of 90 steps each minute. And we stood there watching those guys, and you could just tell, heel toe. They weren't walking sloppy manner. It was heel toe, 21 steps exactly. Stop. Precision. Turn. Do something with their weapon. I forgot what it was, but it was something they did with their weapon. 21 seconds. Or marching again. Stop. Over and over again. No distraction, not looking over, say, hey, Mom, thanks for coming, you know. Focused with purpose, respect, and reverence. The sentinel's creed goes like this. It says, my dedication to this sacred duty is total and wholehearted, and the responsibility bestowed on me, never will I falter. And with dignity, and perseverance. My standard will remain perfection. Through the years of diligence and praise and the discomfort of elements, I will walk my tour in humble reverence, the best of my ability. It is he who commands the respect I protect, his bravery that made us so proud. Surrounded by well-meaning crowds by day, alone in the thoughtful peace of night. This soldier in honored glory rest under my eternal vigilance. Close quote. The sentinel walks with purpose in a worthy manner because of the great sacrifice of those unknown soldiers. And I thought if we'll honor the sacrifice of our nation's unidentified fallen heroes in this manner, then how much more should we honor the Lord by walking worthy of his sacrifice on the cross for our sins? We are indeed sentinels of faith. And we are called to walk in a worthy manner, a manner worthy of Christ. In our text today, Paul outlines for us actually three aspects of walking worthy. And I've broken them down into 3 points. Works good for a sermon. But the foundation of our walk, the motivation of our walk, and the manifestation of our walk. First, Paul addresses the foundation. And we find it in verses 1-6 as Paul opens his letter and says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Paul says, I'm an apostle, not because I went to apostle school, but I'm an apostle by the will of God. Therefore, the things I'm going to write to you are out of respect for God and not respect for men. He's God's man.
Paul was definitely God's man. Can the same be said of us? Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the conclusion of today's message. If you'd like to listen to Pastor Al's teaching ministry wherever you go, you can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. Now here's Pastor Al once again to begin our actual examination of Colossians chapter 1.
To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. And it was added actually later in the translation, the latter part of verse 2 there. It says, and the Lord Jesus Christ. It actually ends in the original Greek text where it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. But it's all good. Verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints because of the hope. We've heard of your faith, your love, because of the hope, which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. The foundation of a worthy walk in the Lord. You talk about, what does it mean to walk worthy of the Lord? Well, you first and foremost have to have a good foundation. And it's a threefold foundation, and is made up in verse 4, and then verse 5, the first part, is made up of three elements, and that is faith, love, and hope. That's the foundation of our walk. You're not going to walk without faith. You can't maintain a walk without love, and you won't continue without hope. And so our walk begins with that as a foundation of our walk, not good feelings, not what I've got in the bank account, not my circumstances, but faith, love, and hope. First, faith, because faith must be the first step. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6 says that without faith, you can't even please God. You can't even get in the race. It must start with faith. Without it, we can't please the Lord. Secondly, we have to have love. For without love, our walk in Christ is really meaningless. We have to possess love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 starts out that chapter by saying, and of course, it's a one long letter. It was broken up into chapters later. And Paul says in chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, he says that you can give your body to be burned, you can move mountains, you can speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but if you do not have love, you are nothing. Love is the essential virtue in our walk with the Lord. The author, Richard P. McBrien, wrote this. He said, if love is the soul of Christian existence, it must be at the heart of every other Christian virtue. Thus, for example, justice without love is legalism. Faith without love is ideology. Hope without love is self-centeredness. Forgiveness without love is self-abasement. We beat ourselves up. Fortitude without love is recklessness. Generosity without love is extravagance, being braggarts. Care without love is mere duty. Fidelity without love is servitude. Every virtue is an expression, or should be, of love. No virtue is really a virtue unless it is permeated and informed by love. If you are walking in the Lord without love, you are not walking in the Lord. For God is love, and he that loveth not knows not God. And then Paul says, I have not only heard of your faith and love, but it's been motivated. Your walk is modified because of the future hope that you have. In verse 5, Paul says, because of hope. What hope? The hope laid up for you in heaven. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says that, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. What does it mean, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure? It means that if you have the hope of heaven in you, it will modify your, that future hope will modify your present condition or your present behavior. And so it is when you possess that hope in the Lord. Paul says, because of the hope, you know, you're walking in faith. Because of the hope, you have great love for the saints. And these three things are the very foundation by which we begin, or that we walk in Christ. It has to be the foundation of our walk. Faith, love, and hope are essential to a walk worthy of Jesus Christ. All right? So we've got to start there. Faith, love, and hope. And those things are important. Of course, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. You've got to have them. You can't have one without the other. Well, I've got faith and I've got hope, but I don't love that person. Well, I've got love, but I just don't think God loves me. I mean, you got to have, they all work in concert. Again, reflective of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You can't have one without the other. And you can't have faith, hope, and love separate. You have them all together because they make up the foundation by which we, our walk becomes a worthy walk, a walk worthy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, the foundation of our walk, faith, hope, and love, the motivation of our walk, well, quite frankly, it's the Word of God. Look at verses 7 and 10 through 10. It says, and he goes on, it says, as you also learn from Epaphras, his name means lovely. He was a companion, a ministry companion with Paul. And a faithful minister, it says here, Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He actually came from Colossae, and who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, verse 9, and to ask that you may be filled. This is Paul's prayer request for them, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The motivation of our walk is, oh, that I might know him, that I may know the Lord. And the way we know the Lord is through the word of the Lord. Paul said that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and the knowledge of his will comes through his word. If you don't have a routine in your life, a regimen in your life of reading the Word of God, get one. You really need to have a consistent regimen in your life of reading the Bible. Say, well, I don't know where to start. Start in the book of John. Start with 1 John. Then after you pick yourself up off the floor, you know. No, but 1 John is a great book, but just, you know, read. If you can't do a chapter, do half a chapter. But read his word, continue to just saturate your life in his word, because that's where the will of God is revealed to us, folks. Otherwise, it's just a guessing game. And it's amazing that some people come in for counseling, they have no idea of what the word of God says. I'm not talking about people who've been in the Lord 1, 2, 3 years. I'm talking about 20, 30-year folks. And you're sitting there saying, well, well, I just don't care about that. Hey, don't you know what the Bible says? You've been in the church for how long? Sometimes former preachers and deacons and elders, and it's like, this is a shame. How can you claim to know him when you don't know his truth? Christ is revealed through the word of God, not through seminars, not through special projects or TV programs. It's when you get in the word for yourself, not on Sunday morning. Great, you can come and hear the word of God Sunday morning, but you've got to read it, folks, for yourself. Paul says, I pray that God will reveal himself through the knowledge of his will, through his word to you, because his will is found in the pages of his word. That's where we understand God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And without a lamp and without light, how do you know where you're going when there's darkness all around? How do we know whether or not we're pleasing the Lord? Paul says, if you will be filled with the will of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, understanding, that means that in every aspect of my life, I'm applying the word of God to it. You know, the old slogan made popular some years ago, you know, what would Jesus do? You know, asking God, Lord, what is your will for me in this situation? Allowing every situation, everything in my life to come under the preeminence of God's word. Walking in wisdom and understanding, talking to people, dealing with people on the job according to what the word of God says. Not how I feel. That's what he's saying here, that you be filled so that in all wisdom, in everything, in every circumstance, with all understanding, that you may walk worthy. Am I walking worthy in the way that I'm dealing with that person? Am I walking worthy in the way that I'm dealing with that situation in my life? Am I honoring the Lord in my walk in what I'm doing? It's important for us to ask those questions of ourselves. And quite frankly, sometimes we're not. But when you recognize it, you don't sit there and argue with God. You say, okay, God, what is your will? Father, forgive me. Help me to do what is right here. He says that if you will do that, he said, then you will be fully, verse 10, pleasing the Lord and being fruitful in the Lord.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. You can listen to today's message again, watch the video version, or download an MP3 with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org. Or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us for another study in God's wonderful Word, next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.